Nancy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour today, I'm going to be playing a new Devon Miller book buzz, and this one is very special because it is for, well, you know, we love kids' books here, and I'm really excited about this one, so stay tuned because this is a really surprising one. I was really surprised when he picked this, and I think it's a winner. So that will be at the bottom of the hour. But right now, I get to turn to somebody who he made a big impression with all of you listeners out there, and I was so proud when it came time to pick the Patsy Award that everyone was in agreement that Michael Keel deserves this because it is such a wonderful book. His book will touch the hearts of my listeners for sure. And now that we have gone through the horrible years of the pandemic and all of the things that went through that we went through during that time, and a lot of people felt sorry for themselves. A lot of people, you know, thought, well, what's going on with this world? How are we going to face this world? And everybody had problems, and everybody thought, you know, this was the worst thing that could happen, that we are locked up in our houses, and we can't go anywhere, and we can't do anything. And then at the end of the year, I was thrilled that a gentleman contacted me, Russell Keel, and he said, would you like to talk to my son? And then he sent me this book, and it just touched my heart. And I right away started telling people about it and telling people, you know, you've got to go and you've got to check this book out, because sometimes we get a book, and it was funny, it was right at the end of the year, and it was, you know, so amazing when I got it and I read it. It's called Challenge the Moment, and it's by Michael Keel, and I want to tell everyone that not only does he deserve a Patsy Award, he deserves a lot of awards. So welcome to Joy on Paper again, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Patsy. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Thanks for all the kind words.
Okay. Well, and Russell, are you there?
I am. Hello, Patsy.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Russell, when I got your email, and I said, oh, sure. You know, I love to get emails from... You know, I get books from all the major publishers, Big Five. They're sending me, you know, I get like between 8 and 10 books a week, and I get to pick whichever book I want. But I love when people just contact me sort of out of the clear blue sky and say, would you like to read this? And I always do, because this is how I find so many wonderful books. And so when you sent me, you know, Michael's name, and then I got the book and I read it, I knew my listeners would react.
We appreciate that very much.
Well, as you saw, I put today up on my website some more information about it. I've been talking about it. I've put it on social media. You know, I started back in December when Michael was on, just promoting the book, because I think Michael, you are such a great writer. It is so, just the writing itself, not what you've gone through, not all the challenges, but your just the pure writing is so evocative. It's so beautiful. And I want to tell people that Audible book version is fantastic. You must be very proud of that book and what the narrator did with it.
That's actually a really great story. I wanted to do an audio book to make it accessible so that people with visual impairments or they couldn't necessarily sit down and read the book, so they could enjoy and engage in it too. So I jumped onto Audible, and there's an ACX guideline that walks you through how to make an audio book, and you can send out requests for professional readers and people that narrate it. They send in samples, mail auditions. So I went through a couple weeks of all these people that have done hundreds of books. They're all sending samples, and they all had different skill sets, all had, you know, different talents, and none of them just really seemed as a really good fit. So I reached out to an old fraternity brother who's out in L.A. now and asked if he had any ideas. And he said that he had just got done doing a class with a young guy out in Jersey. He was bounced around between Jersey and New York City. He thought he would be a really good match. So I reached out to him, and he sent in a sample, and it was perfect. I mean, he nailed it. And I thought it was quite ironic, because he had never done any audiobooks. He had never done it. He was just breaking into the voice business. He had done a couple commercials and a video game, and that's it.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. I thought he was, like, super professional, because it is one of the most beautiful audible books I've listened to.
Yeah, his name's Austin Case. He used the proceeds, like when I paid him to do the audiobook, used it to move out to L.A. and start a legit voiceover career where he's doing a bunch of different projects. Now he's getting his feet wet and getting rocking and rolling.
Well, he's got a big career ahead of him, because he has a wonderful voice, and he's captured... It's not an easy book in so many ways, because there's very serious areas, there's very difficult areas to talk about, but it's also... Michael, you do have a heck of a sense of humor.
we pulled him up on FaceTime one Friday evening before he started, like after I contracted with him and told him, yeah, you know, please do the book. I brought him up on FaceTime on an iPad, plopped him up in the middle of the table, and had a bunch of family and some friends. Everyone came over. There's probably about 10 or 12 or 14 of us all hanging out in the kitchen, just having a couple drinks and talking to him. So he got a really good sense of who we were, who my family, the people around me were. He just took off and he ran with it.
Well, he did, and it should be an award-winning. Just the Audible book alone should be award-winning. So I was really thrilled with that. So, you know, you've told your story in many different ways, Michael. So what, before you start telling us, you know, what exactly happened to you, I just want to mention that one of the things that was memorable for me when after I read the book, I went back to the very beginning where you're talking about your family. And I love the story about your grandparents' house and how everybody went to your grandparents' house. And it reminded me of my childhood, because we still have the 40 acres that they got, you know, when they first got to America. We still have that house. It's now a new addition has been added, the new thing, but the old house is still there. And when I go back and we go into that little house, it seems so little today. But we did have so many people. We were like... wall to wall people.
Well, I think that's what makes homes and get togethers that much more special. That whenever your shoulder to shoulder is squished together, it makes those sounds special. And it could drive home how important it is to be literally and figuratively connected to other people.
And when we would sit on the stairs, which are now sort of slanted because people walked over up them for over 100 years. There was always a little baby on your lap. So, it's, you know, it was always so much fun. So tell us a little bit about that, too, because I think people will find it intriguing. This is obviously, Russell, you and your wife and your family and all those 24 cousins or more did something right.
Yeah, they sure did.
So
That was my dad's parents' house that I was describing, and that first part with us wrapped up the staircase.
So tell us, for the listeners who are new to the, you know, the story, tell us a little bit about your story, and then I want you to tell more about your family and about your fraternity brothers who stuck with you, because, you know, I think what they did for you was amazing too.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite, how I got back to a new normal kind of segue stories. But for the overall synopsis, I was a sophomore at Penn State. I got into an argument with a guy, wrong place, wrong time, and he pulled out a gun and shot me point blank in the neck. So I have a spinal cord injury around C3-4-5. In layman's terms, it means I can't move anything below about my collarbone. I can reach my chin down to my flat floor collarbone. From there down, I can't feel or move anything. And I spent 2 months in ICU in a town called Johnstown, Pennsylvania, about a half an hour from my home. After they stabilized me and kept me alive, so they shipped me down to Atlanta, Georgia for 2 months of spinal cord rehabilitation. I had to learn all kinds. I had to learn everything. Learn how to talk my way through having people dress me, move me, and stretch me, and help me go to the bathroom, help me eat, help me do everything. So after 4 months of hospitals and rehab and all that kind of stuff, I came home about three-quarters of the way through August. By the way, when I first got shot, the number of family and friends that overloaded the emergency room and the ICU waiting room were so much that the nurses and doctors separated them, brought them all up to a different floor, and agreed to sort of bargain with them that if they stay out of their hair, stay in this different area, then they would give them regular updates, hours, 2 hours, something like that. Just the sheer number of 18, 19-year-old college kids, cousins and aunts and uncles and mom's family, dad's family, just overwhelming the hospital. And they stuck with me, and there was always someone visiting, always someone coming down. My dad had an apartment across the street there 24/7. So there was always a presence, there was always support, always people in the wings encouraging me and sort of pushing me and propelling me on. So when I got home 3/4 of the way through August, I got home, and this is the fraternity guy's story. I got home on a Wednesday night, right around midnight, and Thursday was spent figuring out where I'm gonna set up a bed, and a lift to get in and out of the chair, and a big power chair, and all this, quadriplegic stuff in a small little living room that my parents had on the first floor. So it was a lot of semantics that first Thursday. And then Friday, my big brother and my fraternity, guys I pledged with, came up around lunchtime to visit. And to this day, I don't remember if we had thought about this beforehand or if it just came up that day, but we realized that I was still enrolled in Penn State. All my professors had given me my grade that spring, so that term counted. I didn't get a bunch of incompletes. So as far as the computer system knew, it was just waiting for me to schedule fall class. So I did. Those guys picked me up out of my wheelchair, tucked me in the front of my dad's truck, put the wheelchair in the back bed, bungee corded it down, because I didn't have I was fresh out of rehab, didn't have an accessible vehicle or a van. So they loaded me up in the truck, and we drove down to Penn State, pulled me back apart, and put everything together. I went in, and the student services helped get classes. We were brainstorming about how to make them accessible and how others could participate. And then we went on our way back to the fraternity house. They took me out of the chair and in the truck, and then took me out of the truck and back to the chair, fraternity house. And we stuck around for a couple hours just having a couple beers and talking. And this is the part that usually makes people chuckle. Still makes me chuckle. At that point, I had to straight cap every probably 3 hours, which that's exactly what it sounds like, taking a catheter tube and going up the urethra and emptying my bladder into a container. That's how I pee. Yeah. So I was there for a couple of hours thinking, they taught me how to do all this stuff in rehab. They didn't teach me how often to do it if I'm drinking beer. I think it's probably more often. that's a good bet. So I told those guys I had to take off because I, why I had to go. They didn't bat an eye. They said, well, can you teach us and show us how to do it so you can stick around? So 36 hours out of rehab, I'm sitting there at the Penn State fraternity house, and four 18, 19-year-old fraternity brothers who were not rocket scientists, they were not nurses or pre-med or anything, they were just rugby guys and buddies, straight cast me into an empty vodka bottle and stuck around there. That was my reemergence into what's next, and we're back in college life.
And of course, you got back in college life in big way. You've gotten your degrees. You've done so much work with other people. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you never gave up, and you know, most people would say, well, you know, what will he do? But you just went right for doing everything that you could, including doing quite a bit of traveling.
Well, I did ask myself those questions. I remember my mother saying, "Well, you've got to start using your brain and your mouth," because I was 6'2", 6'3", 200-pound rugby player that, you know, I worked construction with my dad growing up and took part in his construction company, and I was always banging into things and physical kind of guy, and I hit that point where I was, after I got hurt, I'm like, what am I gonna do? How can I can't, there's nothing on the left I can do. Like, mother said, you're gonna have to start using your brain and your mouth. You have to talk more and think things through and get creative. And so I got into a field where I didn't need my hands as much. Rehab counseling is, you know, it's doing just that. It's talking and problem solving and brainstorming and working with other people in a very verbal and communicative way. So yeah, I got a degree in psych and then a degree in counseling. And that afforded me to go. I started off going to conferences and things like that. That was a sneaky way of traveling to different parts of the country and getting work to pay for it, but it was a good learning experience too. I was able to expand a lot, see a lot.
Well, you know, what you've done is so impressive, and it helping others, that the way that you've reached out and the different organizations you work with, speaking to, I know that you've spoken to a lot of children who have been facing, disabilities, and of course, we have so many veterans nowadays who have suffered traumatic injuries. So there is a lot of need, I think, for somebody like you who has this courage that you definitely, it's part of your nature, something that as I know that you are very grateful to your family because they instilled some great stuff in you. Russell, you must be so proud of Michael.
We are very much, very much so.
You know,
he's overcome all the odds,
and then he's helped so many people along the way. He's just giving and loving, and this is what's so important. That's why when I read the book, and for me, I thought, because I've written screenplays, and I thought, oh my goodness, this really should be one of those inspirational movies, perhaps a Hallmark movie or something on streaming. But a story that tells about having this kind of courage, not giving up, and I think also about having good people around you, wonderful family, and then, as Michael discovered, with his fraternity brothers who didn't give up on him. Sometimes we only hear bad things about fraternity people, but that's not true, because when they want to rally and they want to support somebody that they care about, they're a powerful entity.
They were a god.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm glad you said that, because we do see that a lot. We typically see fraternities in the news, and it's all about hazing and the stupid and sometimes cruel things that fraternities are doing to each other, and we never hear about the philanthropic stuff that a lot of the other ones do. Reach out, they help their communities, they help each other, they do a lot of good.
They do, and I know that it is the volunteer work that they do, the helping the brothers through the years who need help, who they help find jobs, they help different causes. So I thought that that had a really positive light, and I hope that, you know, perhaps I know that the book is out there, and I've been talking about it, and I hope that we can talk more about it on social media, and perhaps, you know, they need good new shows on streaming video, I can tell you. And I hope that perhaps one of the groups in Hollywood will wake up and say, yeah, this would be a great story, because I think it's more than, it's great that it's inspirational, but it's also a story that is such a lesson for people, that be grateful for what you have. And as you said, now you use your head, and so there's a lot, you know, when it comes for you, of course, you've done a lot of reading over the years, and that's also important.
Well, one of the things
I was just going to say, that's interesting, Patsy, that you mentioned the screenplay, because Mike is almost finished with having a screenplay done. So if you know anybody that's interested in taking a look at it, that would be great.
Well, that's what we're going to work on. That's my next goal here, too. I think we all have to have goals. And one of the reasons we wanted to honor you with the Patsy Award is that every little bit helps to get you noticed, to get somebody to pay attention to you, because it's a wonderful story to empower people to look at themselves and to see how, if they're helping people around them, as much as if the time ever comes that they need help, to know that there are good people in this world. And your family, really quite amazing. I have to mention Moose, because my dad got a Silver Star, and I was happy that your grandfather, Moose, which is a great name. I love that.
Yeah, he was a character. That's my mom's dad. He passed away at about 97, I think. So he had a pretty long,
Well, he was fascinating. Your family's fascinating, and all of the things that you write about and your work is wonderful. Michael, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You have brought joy into this world with what you've done.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm honored to have that Patsy Award.
Okay, so we'll keep in touch, and we'll see what we can do to get somebody in Hollywood to notice you and notice your wonderful book. And again, I want to say to everybody, if you want an Audible book, this is such a great Audible book, and I really, really am just so impressed with it. So people can get that too. So again, Michael, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And Russell, thanks for being such a great dad.
Thank you, Patsy. Very much.
I echo that. Thanks for being such a great dad.
That's it. Okay. Bye-bye now, guys. Bye.
So long.
Thanks. All right. All right. Oh, wow. What a guy. What an amazing guy. And as I said, it is a wonderful Audible book. It's funny. The book is funny. I mean, it's hard to believe that somebody who's, you know, gone through what he has, being paralyzed, but he's a heck of a guy. He's a heck of a joker. Okay, we're going to play a book buzz from Devon Miller, and this is a very special one. Listen to who the author is. This is amazing.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. She's one of the most honored and respected female singer-songwriters of all time, and has been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is none other than Dolly Parton. She's donated over 200 million books to children worldwide from her Imagination Library, and now she has a new book of her own she'd like to share worldwide, which is called Billy the Kid Makes It Big. Written by Dolly Parton alongside Erica S. Pearl, the book was illustrated by Mackenzie Haley. Billy the Kid, who's a French bulldog, loves country music. Because of his love, he sets out to go to Nashville to sing his heart out. However, he later meets some bullies at the Battle of the Bow Wows, and he worries that he's barking up the wrong tree. Now Billy needs help from some new friends and a few country tunes to become the star he knew he could be. While Billy sets out to be a star in the book itself is already a star as it became the number one bestseller in children's country life books on Amazon. The book is all about instilling confidence in kids. Dolly hopes that children learn to go after their dreams and also accept the differences of others. Inspired by her manager's dog, who's now her god dog, Billy the Kid stars in Dolly Parton's third children's book she's written. Dolly has hinted that the book may turn into a series where we'll see more adventures from Billy and his friends, which I think kids will love. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi! This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. And, oh, I am so thrilled to welcome somebody whose book I really love. It's called Super Bloom, and it is by Megan Taddy. I think I pronounced it right. I'll ask her. She'll tell me. She'd tell anybody anything. Hi, Megan.
Hi there. It's great to be with you.
So is it pronounced Taddy? Tady?
It's actually Tady. Rhymes with lady, yes.
Tady. Tady is a lady. Okay, that's easy. See, that's all you had to tell me. Oh, I just need these little hints, you know. I get so many names, and I get them wrong so many times. But now I will always remember because you are such a lady. Okay, well, we'll call
it's
you.
It's true.
Lady Megan. Now, that sounds rather regal. I like it. I like it. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You have the best. Oh, you're in a tie for the best opening sentence in modern women's fiction. You're in a tie because this is so good. I'm not going to read it because I want people to get the book and read it. Maybe because once you read the first sentence, you won't put this book down.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy.
you're rather hilarious. I mean, there's, you know, in this book, it deals with death, but how can I say? I'm smiling when I think about the book. So you're a little, you have a little bit of a strange personality. Do people say that about you? What do people say about you? Oh my goodness, we can look at some of the blurbs. They say you're brilliant. They say the best debut. No. They say, what else do they say? Do they say you're gorgeous? probably, actually, yes. Delightful, and wow, the cover is wonderful too. Everything about this is great.
Thank you so much. This is the best. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy all these compliments. This is amazing. The book is both funny and tender. You know, it's dealing with a woman named Joan who is about to lose her job as a massage therapist at a spa in Vermont. And she's grieving the loss of her love, Daniel.
I'm sorry. But every time I think about her, that dialogue. Okay, when she's... go on. Yeah, go back to Daniel. I'm sorry he died. I'm sorry.
So her love, Daniel, dies. She, you know, the reader meets her. She's in a terrible place in her life. And then... in Waltz's famous romance novelist named Carmen Bronze, who basically sets her on a new path. You know, she wants dirt about the spa. She wants to set her next bestseller there. Joan starts to do that, and then she starts to wonder, maybe I'm the one to write this love story. And it sets her on a whole new trajectory of her life.
And there's some dialogue in this book that's so good. And some writing that's... Really, my jaw hurt when there's this scene where her boss, how do you pronounce her boss's name?
Tara.
We have to pronounce the name correctly. Tara.
Yes.
Gives her quite, let's say, quite an overview of her personality and abilities. And if... was in an HR office. I don't know if she could get away with saying things like this about poor Joan. People mope. I don't see why this is a problem.
Right. Yes, she's sort of saying, look, people come to this spa for a serotonin boost, and Joan's delivering the doldrums. You know, she's at the bottom of the barrel, and she's supposed to be, you know, this massage therapist who's relieving stress for people, but she's pretty stressed out herself. So she's not giving people the experience they want. But she also, underneath all that, is a lovely person who wants to change. She wants to get out of this rut. And slowly, the readers get to see that she does that.
Now, were you inspired by a massage at a spa?
I was. My husband took me 8 years ago to a spa in Vermont. I had a massage by a woman who I could tell didn't want to be there. And the whole time, I kept thinking, what is her story? What am I, her fifth massage of the day? What is it like to be a massage therapist? I have a journalism background, so I always want to interview everyone I meet and hear their stories. So I didn't ask her because that felt sort of creepy, but I left that room kind of casting her in a story of a woman who was brokenhearted, and it kind of took off from there.
Well, it took off all right. Jeez. You know, it's sad. I mean, there's the fact that she's lost, her boyfriend, and she's still recovering.
Yes.
And it's, you know, that part you handle, you know, very delicately, as you said, you know, touching, and but then the idea of what happens with her and the whole, tell us you have to tell us about Carmen Bronze. Throwing that in was just perfect.
So Carmen Bronze is this famous romance novelist. You know, she's written 34 books in her life. She's at the top of the bestseller list. Everyone fears her. She's also a little bored in her career and wants to set her next bestseller at the spa and kind of puts Joan in a corner. And she allowed me to just go kind of crazy. Slapstick, you know, really silly, funny lines, very demanding person, but also someone who knows what she wants and goes after it. And, over the course of the story, you get to see that underneath her abrasiveness and bravado is another woman who has her own sad story to tell. And she begins to connect with Joan in a really beautiful way. And I hope that the reader comes to love her toward the end, because I definitely do.
Yes, but oh boy, when she's throwing it around, it's good. I mean, it's really good. I thought it was so good. Wow. It's your first book? No, not really.
Is this my first book? Yes.
You like have a bunch in your drawer, or this is the actual first book?
You know, this is my first book, but it took me 8 years. It took me a really long time to get it right. I have my own writing and editing business I was running, and I have two young kids and everything. You know, it was slow going, and I at first thought, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to get swooped right up. It was very humbling, and I had to learn the craft and study it and grind it out for a long time, but it's made this all the more sweeter. I'm having, you know, my dream experience. It's amazing.
Well, really, it is. For a debut book to come so strong and to be so funny, I thought, wow, this is, you know, as you said, you're in the writing, you've got this journalism background, and you have a company that actually does something with words. I don't know what they do, but it's funny that it took you so long, but boy, it has turned out, I think.
Yes, yeah. My business, I'm a, you know, copywriter and editor for website copy and alumni publications and things like that. But that meant that my world has been steeped in words and writing since I was very young, and I've always worked in them. But then, writing a novel is a different beast, and it took me a long time to figure it out and to crack it. And I'm still studying it. I'm still getting better. I'm working on my second book now, and I love it. I love writing.
Well, you've got the knack. Let's just say, at certain points, so I was laughing so hard that really my jaw hurt. I had to put my knuckle into my jaw so that I could. it is really. I love it. I love it. So your background is journalism. Where's your inspiration for this kind of writing? Who did you write?
I know. I wanted to make something that was really funny. And in fact, my editor and I had to strip some of the jokes because it was just too many. You know, it was like joke, joke, joke. And we wanted to really calibrate the experience for people because there are some really tender moments, and I wanted the reader to be able to laugh out loud and maybe even tear up and cry and have this sort of roller coaster experience. So we had to, you know, strip some of the jokes and leave them aside and let the really funny ones pop out. One of the books that I first read that did that for me is Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Simple. I think it came out in 2012. I loved it. It was so funny and clever. And I said, you know, I want to write something like that.
Well, you've accomplished it. It's wonderful. I needed. I think the day I got it, it was like a miserable day for some reason. I don't remember if it was the weather, I don't know, inflation, going shopping, seeing the price of things. I don't know. First, I love the cover. Great cover. And then I thought, I like the idea of a going to a spa. Although, you know, I feel so sorry during the pandemic, these women lost. I mean, who wanted to go to a spa and have people breathing on you, you know?
I know.
As a matter of fact, you know, I had just signed up. I was signing up a spa to you know, sponsor Joy on Paper. The month before, you know, the pandemic started, we were just talking about it and how they were going to come on the program and, you know, once a month and promote the spa and you know, promote. And then the pandemic hit. And of course, they didn't know what was going on. Everything just started collapsing. And now, after 2 years of that, they just went out of business. So I never did get them to sponsor. Because I thought, well, that's a way for me to get, you know, I wanted them to sponsor it, not just to sponsor the program financially, but I thought, you know, they'll give me some free massages. I never got them.
Yes, exactly.
I never got them. But now, of course, when you go to a spa, how are they going to treat you?
You're never going to forget the novel now. Every time you get a massage, you'll think about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was sweet of your husband. And I'm glad that you gave him credit for this. And giving him half of your royalties because he inspired the story.
Of course. It's true.
Well,
he's holding it down at home because we're going on a big tour, and it's so exciting.
Yeah, I noticed this tour. Massive tour.
Yes, I know. It's really amazing. I'm based in Western Massachusetts. I'm heading to New York and Connecticut and Boston and Vermont and LA. And yeah, it's a dream come true. Well,
I mean, most people don't get... Now, your publisher, did you find an agent and then the publisher? How did this work out? Because... You got a heck of a somebody loves you out there.
They do love me. So I sold my book to a new imprint called Zibby Books, and at the time they read my manuscript, and I didn't have an agent. I had agents reading my manuscript and in considering offering representation, but I didn't have an agent. They read my manuscript, and 6 weeks later they offered to buy the book. And I got an agent the very next day, which was, you know, everything happened in 1 week after many years of rejection, you know, so much rejection. And it all happened, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is finally coming true.
Well, Zibby was right. They grabbed onto you, and I think that they are now... I'm sure... that they are so thrilled with you because this book is so good, and now it's finished. Work harder.
I know. I'm working on the second book, and I'm trying to get it finished while we're promoting the first one. So that's a whole new thing for me. That's for sure.
Well, but you know, deadlines sound ominous, but. They are ominous, but it's fun to have them because, you know, nobody gave you a deadline for 8 years. So now you've got like a year and you have to get knuckle down, right?
Exactly. I'm so happy to have an editor to work with. And if I write myself into a corner, I can say help. And they help me figure it out, you know, so I'm not on my own on this, which is great.
Well, Zibby is, they've got good taste, I can tell. I know. They're smart people over there.
Thank you. I'm having the best time. They have an incredible team of people who have rallied around me. And, you know, they put out 12 books a year. So each book every month is sort of the lead title. And they have incredible roster of authors coming next and before me. So I've been so impressed.
Well, I'm impressed with them because nobody really... even the big five, they don't arrange these kind of tours that you've got. I mean, you've got real coverage. It's exciting.
It is. It really is. I know I was just updating my website this morning to add a few new things, and like, wow, this is going to be a really exciting and intense couple of months.
Well, I think you've done a terrific job. As I said, I just needed it when I got it. I remember when I got it. I think it had something to do with inflation. I think I went to the grocery store and I wanted to buy, you know, like those pre-made mixes, daiquiris and Bahama yep. Mamas and stuff. And they upped the price a dollar. You know, and I thought, how can you up the price a dollar in like 1 week? So I was depressed. Yeah, it must have been. I think the thought of my very expensive Bahama Mama, and just as I'm ready to read a book about a spa, that's how it worked out. So now you can afford a lot of massages.
We'll see how the book sells. You just never know. But I'm so glad it brought such levity to your day. That was my intention. I wanted people to just like put the book down just grinning, you know, and tell the next person, you've got to read this. It made me feel so good.
Oh, it did. It made me feel really just thinking about it. It's so funny. I'm thinking about it and I just loved it. I loved it so much.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we do not want to be feeling like we have a $25 piece of rose quartz in our throat.
That's true.
Everything, your writing is terrific. The opening sentence, perfecto. And you're in competition with Jill Block, who also has a perfect opening sentence for her book, The Truth About Parallel Lines. So the two of you...
Oh, I have to check that out.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, now that's also a great book, and you'll love it. It's by Jill Block. Her father is Lawrence Block, the Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster. And her book is called Parallel Lines, and you'll enjoy that book. And the value of having that first opening paragraph, I'm telling people, get this book, read it, you won't put it down, and maybe get yourself one of those pre-made Bahama Mamas, because you'll need it. You'll need it again.
Perfect.
I think, you're going to have fun on this tour. You can have fun. What are you serving? Are you serving something? You should serve something.
Oh, you know, there's different things at different places, but I think some people are doing like cucumber martinis.
Yes, I saw
that.
Fun
things like that. And I have an event this weekend where a massage therapist is coming and she's giving 10-minute massages.
Oh.
And there's a lot of fun stuff happening, which is just so great. And I'm thrilled.
Well, Zibby, you are one great company because they've discovered a real wonder girl here. And I think the book is fantastic. They're doing a great job for you. You have to be very, very, very happy with them because I don't think any other organization would do what they've done. Really, even the big five don't do this kind of thing. So you're very lucky and blessed. And I love your husband for taking you to a spa.
Me too.
Yeah, now you can take him to a spa. Maybe you can fly out. You have to go to Hawaii and sell this book.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And now you can afford to take him. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a joy. Oh, I give your website, whatever, where people can find you.
Oh, yes. Yes, Megan Tady, TADY.com, or Instagram at Meg Tady, and I would love to connect with people.
Yeah, connect with her because she's a hoot. I'm telling you, people, this Tady lady is a hoot. And you want to be her pal? I want to be your pal. I think you're wonderful. I really do. Thank you so much.
We are definitely pals now. Thank you.
Okay, I love it. Bye bye now. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, wow. What a fantastic book. It was so funny. There's this underlying thing too, but it's just, she's just a good writer. It's rare that you get somebody with who's so witty, and so I really enjoy that. Anyway, it's been a very great day. I want again say that Challenge the Moment by Michael Keel is one of the best Audible books I've ever listened to. And, you know, you think that it's a difficult subject, but his writing is so beautiful. He has such a wonderful way with describing events, describing life, describing the joys that he has discovered, it's all in his head, and he puts it down on paper, and it's beautiful. And the narrator has done a fantastic job. It's well worth getting, and I'm hoping that at some point they will do a movie about him, because he deserves that kind of recognition for, you know, a lot of people, we see a lot of people who suffer, a lot of people who have problems, but when you overcome what he's overcome, it's just amazing. And I was really happy that he got the Patsy Award and that it is sponsored by Rita Moreau in honor of husband George. And I want to thank Rita so much for that. And, you know, Rita, thank you. Thank you for supporting Joy on Paper. Thank you for supporting the Patsy Award. And thank you for just being such a great author yourself. I know, you know, it's always so difficult when we lose somebody that we love. But I think Michael Keel is a great example for you and for everyone of carrying on and doing what we know our loved ones want. And so, again, Rita Moreau, I want to thank you so much for supporting Michael Keel and his wonderful book. And I hope that one day it will be a film, and your name will be there too in the credits for supporting him. Anyway, remember what I always say to everyone. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't unless you start writing. And so be like Carol J. Perry, who writes 1,000 words a day, day after day, day after day. And now she's up to book 13 in Witch City Mysteries, and we hope that one's going to be a series on the Hallmark Channel. Or streaming video. Come on, let's get working already on this kind of thing. We need some new material. I'm bored with everything on streaming. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. Thank you so much for everything. And he saluted me. I saluted him. I should have been a general. I'd like to go and, well, I don't, oh boy, if I was a general. Some people would not like it. Anyway, bye-bye. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye.